Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Wednesday, January the 24th, 2024. It is the third week after Epiphany. Oh, and it's also my mom's birthday today. I haven't seen her on here yet, but if you see her on here, be sure to tell Linda Rowland, happy birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday. So, yeah, we are continuing our readings through this two-year cycle through the Bible. And so our readings today are in Genesis chapter 16, Hebrews 9, and John 5. Genesis 16, Hebrews 9, and John 5. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Had a little warm break from the cold this week. Like, we're all over the place, man. So, close in the 70s today. That'll be nice. Yeah. All right, let's do it, y'all. Genesis 16, 1 through 14. You know what we do? We read, we pray, change the world. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed. Oh, man. Abram was like, "It sounds like a great idea." You rascal. You a little rascal, Abram. I'm just doing what she told me to do. That Abram, that little stinker. Shh. Abram says, "Yes, ma'am." Abram agreed to what she said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. So now Sarah's a little envious, right? Oh, bummer. No Wi-Fi. Do you guys have bad weather or something there in Louisiana? Or just the obstacles or the factors of living in the country? Which is it? Yep, bad weather. Okay. So when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering." Well, it's your fault, Abram. It's your fault. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. Okay, so Sarah feels like she's just flaunting it in her face that she got a baby. She did, and that she did. She couldn't. Sarah couldn't conceive. It's your fault, Abram. Now, back then, obviously, they didn't know how that worked, because obviously the problem here is with Sarah, biologically, not Abram, because Abram didn't have no problem conceiving with Hagar. So, but of course, back then, they didn't understand that. Sarah's just like, you holding out on me, boy. He's like, well, I don't know what you mean. Now she just flaunting it in my face. She got a baby. I ain't got no baby. It's your fault. Man, that's husband life right there. Your fault. I know. It's my fault. I got to be careful because there's lots of ladies on the podcast. I could really step into some deep water right now. So I'll just keep moving, y'all. I'll just keep moving. Protect myself and just keep moving. Protect myself. cover myself. Keep going. But anyway, Sarah's ticked, man. She ain't liking what's happening. She thought it seemed like a good idea in concept, right? She was like, I can't have a baby, so next best thing, I'll just have one of my servants have a baby for us. And he'll be the promise. He'll be the child of the promise. May the Lord judge between you and me. Verse 6, your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her what you think is best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar. That's not nice. So she fled from her. I mean, it's just, there's an interesting thing here just to look through the eyes of Hagar in this story, right? I mean, she's definitely a sympathetic figure, right? Like, man, wow. She just, poor thing can't win. Then the angel of the, this is the beautiful thing, but God saw Hagar. God saw her. God understood what she was going through. Watch this, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. This is a beautiful encounter, right? It's like, you don't have to run. You don't have to run. I'm going to bless you. Your descendants are going to be too numerous to even count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. I mean, there's that. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. I mean, this is that's the Palestinian conflict right there. Ishmael and Isaac. God said it from the beginning. This is going to be a constant fighting between the brothers. Verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. How about that, man? How about that? You are the God who sees me. Aren't you glad he sees you? Aren't you glad that no matter what you're going through, he sees you? And there are times when you get down in the dumps, you get discouraged, you get you feel frustrated, you feel abused, abandoned, you feel misunderstood, taken advantage of, he's the God who sees you. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It's still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. I see the one who sees me. It's beautiful. I see the one who sees me. Aren't you glad for that, man? He sees you. He takes notice. He is involved. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on today as we read through the Word of God. Hebrews 9. 15 through 28. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when someone has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So he's likening the first covenant to a will, and the second covenant too. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. So the first covenant was put into effect through blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop and sprinkled the scroll in all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary, then, for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the physical temples and all of that could be purified with the blood. But for the heavenly thing, the more the reality of what they represented, it needed something different. It needed a different kind of blood. It needed a different kind of life sacrifice. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. To appear for us. He sees us. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once for all. He's the once for all sacrifice and high priest who offers his blood for the sin of everyone. Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So Christ has done his work, right? He's done the work. When he came, he offered the perfect sacrifice at the culmination of time for all of humanity once for all. That work is complete. So he bore the sin of humanity and the wrath, the penalty for sin. But when he comes back, that work has been done. So when he comes back, it's not going to be to bear sin. He won't be the suffering servant that Isaiah talked about. He'll be the conquering king. He will be the roaring lion. He came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion. To bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen. That perfect, complete salvation, right? It's that reality that we have been saved. We've been saved from sin. We're justified through faith. We are being saved. We are being purified. We're being cleansed. We're being renewed day by day. We're being saved for some future glory. And there is a sense, and one day we will be saved. We'll be completely saved. We will be forever with the Lord. We will be what Hebrews chapter 9 is talking about there. We'll be fully in his presence, fully saved from all of the adverse effects, the deadly effects of sin. So we have been saved. It's past tense. It's current. We are being saved. And there's a future aspect of salvation yet to come. John chapter, what do we say, 5? John 5, 19 through 29. God is good, man. God is good. Let's do this. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Well, the works that had just been done, you'll recall from yesterday, was the healing of the man who was lame for 38 years. And Jesus is like, you're going to see greater works than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it. The life-giving power is in the hands of the Son. Man, aren't you glad? He can give you life. He is what offers a lost and dying world life. Jesus does. He extends to the world life. Verse 22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Man, I used to have these kooky professors. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I had professors who, and I was just I didn't know the Bible that well back then. And they'd try to draw this sharp distinction between the Father and Jesus. Now we know there are three distinct persons, same God, three persons. But they would make this very dark contrast between, you're not supposed to pray to Jesus, you're supposed to pray to the Father. You pray to the Father through Jesus. Like, the Father is Jesus, they're not the same. And so, no, Jesus, like, and it was basically trying to say that Jesus wasn't God. When you boil it all down, it was about that Jesus never claimed to be God. And, but yes, he did. If you read the Bible, you know Jesus did often claim to be God. And here's one. This is about as clear a claim to be God as you can get. There are others, but this is a very clear claim to divinity. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. He is equating honor with himself to honor to God. In the first century, that is, well, even today, if someone were to say, if you honor me, then you're honoring God, you'd be like, what? I feel like there's something different there. It's equating two entities, right? Two personalities, two people. Jesus is clearly claiming to be God. We know that. But it always kind of triggers me a little bit when I read passages about this, because it's like, I think back of that college freshman, who was all excited, you know, about Jesus, but really didn't have much biblical knowledge. You know, I was saved at, 19? Went to college. I was only been saved a few years. Didn't know very much about the Bible, just what the TV preachers taught me. And, you know, that doesn't always work out the best. You know, only what Rod Parsley and who were some of the other ones back then. Some of them were good. Evie Hill and Dwight Thompson. Who else did I listen to? Some more Baptist preachers like Charles Stanley. Yeah. Shambach, R.W. Shambach. Anyway, these are people most of y'all don't even know. Well, who in the world? But anyway. But yeah, so when I read, but I didn't know anything. I was a college freshman, didn't really know that much about the Bible. And these professors that are supposed to be Bible professors, who should know what the Bible says at least, are trying to espouse this belief that Jesus never claimed to be God, that Jesus would be offended if we equated him with God. What? No, Jesus preached Jesus. I don't know how many times people, you know, missed this, but most preachers, you know, have a distinct, there's a distinction between themselves. Yeah, most preachers, there's a distinction between themselves and their message, but not with Jesus. Jesus preached Jesus. That's what he preached. His message was himself. And, when Jesus went around the countryside, he was preaching. You know what he's preaching? Himself. Jesus, what's the topic of your message? Me. He who believes in me will have life and have eternal life and have it eternally. Jesus, but what's like today's topic? Me. If he who's seen me has seen the Father. Yeah, but like, what's your outline? Me. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus preached Jesus from start to finish. He who believes in me, even if he dies, yet he will live. Just like what we read, Jesus came to extend to us life. The same life that is in the hands of the Father is in the hands of Jesus. And he extends it to us. Don't you love that, man? Yeah. But whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So let's finish this up through verse 29. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the spiritually dead. People who are spiritually dead hear the voice of Jesus, and they come to life. He raises them to life. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Why does Jesus have all of this authority? Because he's the man. Jesus has all of this authority because he is the man. He's the Son of God. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus was on a mission from the Father to fulfill that calling, to offer his voice to those who are dead, that they might be raised to life. And he accomplished that purpose. And then he sat down eternally at the right hand of God. Yeah. Man, some powerful stuff there in John 5, right? All right, you guys, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for my friends today. May you bless and encourage each one of them. Lord, help us to live in the power of that life that you've given us. And may we be those who extend it to others as we see other people who are dead, spiritually dead, who are trying to fill the void in their life. May we speak the words of Jesus and bring them hope. Lord, thank you for the way you bless and see us. Through the ups and downs and everything in between in life, you see us. And we thank you, Lord, that we have seen the one who has seen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. You guys are awesome. Have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Same time, same place as we continue on in our readings. Thank you guys so much. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.